Welcome, everyone. My name is Laurent Bugnon. I'm working for IdentityMind. We are a firm specialist in user experience, and we have worked with a number of technologies, but our main point is definitely XAML, and that's one of the reasons why we are very excited to see Windows 8 coming up with a very solid XAML stack, which maybe some of you already played with it. It's still a little bit, you know, they call it a preview. There is a reason, right? It's a little bit unstable from time to time. But in this session, I'm going to show you, first of all, some best practices in Silverlight, which we are going to translate to Windows Phone and which we are going to translate in Windows 8. So I think the idea there is really to show you that your skills that you acquired in the past few years, since WPF came out in 2006, are going to be very, very useful in the Windows 8 world as well. So the session content, first of all, we are going to do a bit of recapitulation about MVVM. For those of you who already saw some of my sessions in the past few years, it's going to be a bit of a repetition, but I think it's a good idea to, you know, put on the table a few concepts before we start doing code. And then we are going to do really code, code, code. Most of the session is code. It's quite intensive, and I hope you're going to like it. It was a fun session to prepare. Disclaimer, I'm not a Microsoft employee. I do work with Microsoft a lot, but what you hear today is my opinions and solely my opinions, especially when it comes to Windows 8 and what I think they will bring us. You know, they have been very, how should I say, confidential about the next build. We now know publicly that it's going to be available in, you know, by the end of the month, so that's the good news, the beta, right? And what I'm going to show you today is based on the developer preview. So there are a few bugs, few instabilities. I'm going to show some workaround that, and then we hope that in the beta, everything is going to be much better, as usual. So the MVVM pattern, if we recapitulate a bit, I like to start talking about the MVVM pattern by talking about the MVC pattern, because this is the grandmother of all the UI patterns. It's been used already in 1984 with Smalltalk. I'm showing my age. I did some Smalltalk sometimes in the past. So MVC, there is a model, a view, a controller. The model is really what gets your data, what, you know, like could be network services, could be database, could be whatever. The view is obviously what the user is using. And then there is a controller, which is kind of the kind of orchestrating everything, if you want, starting animations, responding to user input, et cetera. Now, when you work with XAML, there is a pattern which is a little bit better because of something called the data binding system in XAML. This is a way to declaratively bind two properties together. By declarative, I mean that you can write that in markup without having to write code. So it's ideal for tools like Expression Blend, for example. And it's also ideal for people who don't really do much code, like designers, for example. So here we also have the view and the model, but the controller is replaced by something we call the view model. And there is one view model per view, so they work in pair. In terms of interactions, the view model and the model communicate in a fairly classic manner. So you have method calls, property calls, you have events, nothing really revolutionary here. Between the view and the view model, this is where we use those data bindings, and this is very convenient. Like I said, this is a loose coupling, meaning that you can declare your properties on the view model. You can test those. You can say, well, I have a property which is a status, for example, which is an enumeration, nothing bound to the view at all. And then at a later point, in another role, you come and you do the binding, for example, with Expression Blend. And this allows you to have a kind of loose coupling between your view and your view model. You can also change things in the view model quite easily, or change things in the view even more easily without having to worry about the other parts. We also often do binding between view and model. It's a little bit breaking the purity of MVVM, where everything should go through the VM, but it's a pragmatic approach. I'm sorry, another disclaimer is that I'm a little bit sick today, so I will cough a little bit. I'm very sorry about that. It's not part of the presentation. So So we do bindings between the view and the model sometimes, especially if the model implements iNotify property change, if the model is observable. Okay, this is the case, for example, when you do some WCF, some Windows Communication Foundation, you create your proxies on the client, those proxies automatically implement iNotify property change. So you can do bindings against that. This allows you to avoid replicating quite a lot of code, duplicating code, which you don't want. Also, the entity framework, for example, the entities which are created implement iNotify property change. From the view to the view model, we like to use commands to actuate things. So commands are also a loose coupling. You can declare them as properties on your view model. And then in the view, you can data bind to those commands. You can do a binding to a property of type iCommand. That's also a convenient and loose way to do things. Somebody can worry about exposing the command, and somebody totally different can worry about finding the right command. And you can easily switch things over. For example, say, well, I have a button now, but I rather prefer a menu. You can do that. The command doesn't change. We also communicate from the view model to the view. And here, it could be tempting to save a reference to the view inside the view model. And for example, you do that when you do a simple messagebox.show, right? This is calling a view method from the view model directly. Now, it's not a super good idea, mostly because you cannot test that. So if you want to write a unit test which is testing that the messagebox is actually showing, you cannot do that. Okay, you have to have a human person in front of the computer checking that. So instead, we try to abstract things, and there are multiple ways to do that. For example, if you have, imagine the scenario, you have to start complex animations on the view when a property changes. Well, you can listen to the property change event on the view. It means that you need to write a little bit of code behind. Okay, so again, it's not a pure MVVM approach. But, you know, purity lives in books, right? And we live in the real world, so we don't really, you know, you have to be pragmatic sometimes. So one way is to listen to the property change event, do some things in your view. That works. View services, I'm going to talk more about that and show you some samples. It's something that I really like. It's a very elegant way to abstract functionalities of the view. I'm going to come back to that. And also, you can send messages. For example, in MVVM Lite, which is a toolkit that I created and maintain, it's an open source toolkit. There is a messenger, which is kind of an event bus. So you can very easily send a message from an object to another object. And those two objects don't need to know each other. The messenger is going to dispatch the messages for you. So that's also another pattern of communication, which is quite convenient. So as I mentioned, sometimes you want to communicate from the view model to the view. And there is one neat way to do things which help you. It's to use an extension of the view called a behavior. Behaviors have been developed by the Blend team, but they are not part of Blend per se. You can use them even if you don't use expression Blend. There is an SDK for that. And they are basically a little piece of view code encapsulated and reusable. So the sample that we will see in the demo is a go-to-state action. This is something that when a property changes on the view model, it's going to set the view in a different state. So it's going to start a complex series of animations. And the nice thing is that you don't need to write code behind for that. Instead, somebody else did, and you're reusing his work. You're reusing the go-to-state action. What you do is really put something in the XAML, do your bindings, and you're set. Okay? So that's a very neat way to communicate. It allows you to communicate through bindings, which, again, are a loose way of communication. Very nice. And then we go to Windows 8, where you don't have behaviors, okay? So I don't really know if they are coming or not. The only thing I can say about that is they are so useful that I cannot really imagine that we'll never have behaviors. But again, I don't know if we will have them. They are not in the preview. That's what I can say for sure. So how do you work around that? Well, one possibility is to declare additional properties on the view model. For example, let's say you want to hide a piece of the UI when a certain property on the view model is set to true. Well, you can declare an additional property on the view model and call that my UI visibility of type visibility, and then toggle that in the view model and then do a binding. Okay? So again, you have this loose way of communication through binding. These advantages, you have an additional property that you have to maintain on your view model. But it's okay because a visibility, even though it's kind of a view property, it's something that you can test. You can test if it is visibility.collapse or visibility.hidden or, you know, visible if we are doing Silverlight. Okay? So that's one way around that. The other way is, like I mentioned before, listen to the property change event and do stuff in your view when that changes. The solution with the properties, with the simple properties, don't allow you to really easily start animations on the view. So if you write a bit of view code, you can listen to the property change event and start your animations, for example. So that's a possible workaround that you have to use when you work with early versions of Windows 8. Now, about those view services that I mentioned, they are something that I really like to use as soon as my view model needs to do something in the view. Like in the demo, we will see that we will need to select files. Selecting files is a function of the view. Okay. First of all, it's different on each platform. On Silverlight, you use an open file dialog. On Windows Phone 7, we'll use a picture chooser task, totally different object. And then on Windows 8, there is something called a file picker async, or open file picker. There is a class for that, right? We'll see that in a moment, which is asynchronous. So everything is different. So the view model doesn't want to know about those differences because you want to share code. So we are going to use the view services to abstract those differences. So what you do is that you declare an interface which specifies which functionality you're interested into. In that case, it's an iSelectFile service. You inject that into the view model. Okay? A neat way to do injection is to use an IOC container, for example. This is a very neat way. In MVVMLite, there is a simple IOC, which is a small IOC container you can use for simple scenarios like this one. If you want to move to something bigger, you're free to do so, like Unity, Structure Map, Castle Windsor, etc. The advantage of simple IOC is that it's probably the first IOC container which works on Windows 8 as well. And then after that, in the case of the select file service, we are going to have the view implement it. So the view itself, the main page.xaml.cs, is going to take care of selecting the files. But the view model itself doesn't know it's talking to the view. It knows it's talking to an abstraction, which you can test. Okay? Since we have an iSelectFile service, we can have another implementation which we are going to use in the demo at design time, for example, to kind of simulate the action of selecting files. Okay? You could do the same, for example, for navigation. Navigation service, you create your interface, you inject it. In the case of navigation service, for example, on the phone, I have a class which does this, which interacts with the main page and which does the navigation. So same scenario. So how do you translate all those concepts to Metro? And I think before we talk about that, we need to have a small discussion about what are actually those Metro applications, those so-called tailored applications. In my opinion, and again, that's my opinion, I think they are not really a replacement for your big WPF applications, for your big Win32 applications, or Silverlight out-of-the-browser applications. Okay? I spend quite a lot of time coding for Windows 8, thinking about it, talking with people. And if you do that, you will notice that there are big similarities between those tailored applications and Windows Phone apps. Okay? First of all, they are suspended when they are not in the background. So you move them, they go into a suspended state. In some cases, they can do some work, but in most cases, they don't. The lifetime management is taken care of by the OS, which means that if your application is in the background, it can be exited by the OS if the OS needs to reclaim the memory. And you don't have a control over that. Okay? Same scenario as the Windows Phone, exactly the same. They work in a sandbox. The security is quite strict. They have capabilities that you need to declare in advance. Again, anybody who did Windows Phone development, that sounds very familiar. We need to do exactly the same in Windows Phone. Okay? Also, you cannot really sideload an application. Well, you can, but only if you are a developer and your machine is unlocked. Well, unlocked, that rings again a bell. The phone is unlocked for developers. Okay, so exactly the same model. So in my opinion, those applications are really more of a companion. Okay, they are a kind of an app which works in certain circumstances better than maybe your large application. And those circumstances are when you're mobile, okay, when you use your fingers, when you have maybe a device with not as much capabilities as a large laptop, like for example those new ARM devices that people keep talking about. Okay, in those cases, having a metro application totally makes sense. But if you have really a full-blown laptop, I mean, you know, let's face it, right? The full-blown Excel with all the functionalities and the graphing and all that. We will see an Excel on Metro, I'm sure of that. Actually, we saw already some leaks about it. But I don't think this is going to be the full-blown Excel with all the functionalities, right? So what I'm advising now is really to follow kind of the same model. If you have an application now which works, I wouldn't worry too much because it's still going to work on the desktop of Windows 8. However, it might be time to think about having an additional app, which is a companion to your full-blown application. Windows 8 is very asynchronous, even more than Silverlight 5, which was already more asynchronous than WPF. So asynchronous is hard. Okay, it's probably the most difficult aspect when you move to Windows 8 is to get an understanding of what's happening when you do async and await. Async and await are two keywords which have been introduced in C# 4.5, and they really help you, but it can be confusing. Okay, in the code which I have here, when I reach the line which says response equals await client.sendAsync, it would be tempting to believe that my code is going to stop there and wait. Actually, it doesn't. It's asynchronous. The application is going to do something else while you're waiting. Okay. So your thread is not blocked, and that's something that you really need to understand. Then, when the response comes back, you're going to jump at the line which says var result equals response.content.read as string. You're going to jump back into it. So this is syntactic only. Okay, it helps you to write code. It's a little bit nicer. You don't have to do a complicated callback scenario. But it is confusing because when you read, you have the feeling that it's going to stop here, and it doesn't. Very often used in Windows 8. For example, every file operation that you do in Windows 8 is asynchronous now. So when you open a file, when you write a file, this is all asynchronous. Every stream operation is asynchronous. So you need to think about that. And actually, there is a reason why, right? This is a 64-core laptop or computer, I assume, opened in the Task Manager. And I already saw the same picture with 256. So you can imagine how small those grids come. Basically, that's the future, right? The processor have reached kind of a plateau slowly, okay? Moore's law, which says that, you know, power doubles every X years, is slowly reaching its limit simply because of heat dissipation most of the time, okay? You cannot have, you know, huge fans or liquid cooling in a laptop, for example. It doesn't work. So instead, if you want more power, you need more cores. If you need more cores, to take advantage of those, you need asynchronous programming. It's like a law. So we will want to abstract those differences, like, for example, the asynchronicity in Windows 8, in order to reuse as much code as possible. For example, if you have code in Silverlight, which you think is going to be asynchronous in Windows 8, well, maybe you can take preventive actions by already using callbacks to call this code. Why can you do that? And again, right, it's a little bit confusing now, but I'm going to show that in the demo. You can do that because a callback to synchronous code will work. It will just come back immediately. And then when the code becomes asynchronous in Windows 8, it's still going to work, except that it's going to come back asynchronously. So this is a pattern that you can already use to prepare your code for the migration. Also, sometimes you need to use interfaces even for simple classes. For example, in the demo, we will use a file info class in Silverlight. And this class doesn't exist in Windows 8. Now it's called storage file, and it has different properties. So we are going to have to abstract those differences, and instead we are going to use something called iImageFileInfo, which is my own invention, okay, which exposes a smaller subset of stuff that I need to read those files and do some operations on those files. We are going to share quite a lot of classes between Silverlight, Windows Phone, and Windows 8. But some classes that we cannot share, we are going to overload them. For example, we are going to have a class called Uploader. I'm going to go back to that. One specific version for Silverlight, and then another version of this of the same class with the same name for Windows 8. Like this, some parts are reusable, some parts are not. We are going to extend classes, and one good way, one neat way to extend a class is to use partial classes. Okay, if you have a class which is partial, you can share one part of the code across the platforms, and then you can have a specific additional file, also partial, which adds functionality to the same class. We are going to talk about that. And finally, if you have two, you can use precompiler directives. Personally, I try to avoid, because I find that the code is not as neat with that. It's a little bit more difficult to read. But in some places, there is no way around that. So let's go into the demo. For the demo, I'm going to show you. This is a Silverlight 5 application. First thing we will do is run it. I have a load button. I open a dialog. I'm going to select some pictures. Oops. And I'm going to upload them. They upload in parallel. So, okay, this is a mass uploader, you could say. Now let's take a look at how it's implemented. So here I have the server part. Server part is, for client people, a little bit less interesting. It's simply, you know, getting the streams and writing them. On the client side, I have my classic view model structure. This is using MVVM Lite for Silverlight 5. And if I start at the bottom, at the model, I declared here an iUpload file service, which is an interface which is abstracting the functionality of uploading the file. So this is the model implementation, right? So why do I declare that in an interface? Because I can have multiple implementations. I could easily create a test implementation of the uploader that I use in unit tests. Here in that case, I have just one implementation. This is what I'm going to use actually at runtime. Can you read well behind? Yes? Okay, cool. So this class here is the implementation of iUpload file service. And it's going to queue files. It's going to process the queue. And here I'm checking how many concurrent uploads I'm doing in parallel. So I could change that. In that case, I selected 4. So I'm uploading 4 files in parallel. Now, the reason why I can do that is because I'm going to chunk those files. I'm going to, you know, cut them in small parts, which is always a good practice when you do uploads, because, first of all, you're transmitting only a small piece of data, which means if it fails, you can retry just that particular piece of data. You don't have to retry the whole stuff. Also, you can easily cancel, because if you have a very large file you're uploading, you're in the middle, you want to cancel, well, you just stop sending requests, and that's it. Right, on the server, the cache is going to take care of deleting what has already been uploaded. So I'm chunking those. And here we have the method which is actually doing the upload. And here we have an interesting line, because I'm going to call read next chunk, which is actually a synchronous operation in Silverlight, because reading from a stream is synchronous in Silverlight. However, I'm passing a delegate to a method, which means that I'm preparing myself for the case where that's going to be asynchronous, which is the case in Windows 8. Okay? So in Windows, in Silverlight 5, it's just going to do the code and then jump immediately back here, and continue to do the work. In Windows 8, it's going to read, it's going to wait a bit because the file has to be ready, etc. My application is going to do something else at the same time, and then it's going to come back. So simply by using here a callback pattern, a callback scenario, I'm preparing myself for the future, you could say. Here, I'm preparing a few headers that I'm transmitting with my request. And here I have an uploader. This uploader is going to be specific to each platform, because you don't upload the same on Windows 8 than you upload on Silverlight 5. There is a new networking stack. So what I did, instead of having the uploading code inside this upload file service, I took it out. Okay, that means that the upload file service itself, I can reuse it. But the uploader itself, which is a very small class, I'm going to have to rewrite that small class. I'm going to show you that a little bit later. Then I'm posting. Posting is also asynchronous, but that's asynchronous on all the platforms that we are supporting. So here, nothing new. We had before already to pass a callback anyway. Then we go into the continue, and this is where I decide if I was successful or not. Maybe I need to retry. If everything went well, I say, hey, go and process the queue for the next files. So this is the code which is doing the chunking, the uploading, and everything. Then if we take here a little bit further, I have here this upload file info, which is an observable object, which means that it's an object which is on certain properties to raise the property change event. So I can do some bindings directly to that. For example, I have the status property, which is going to help us to set the view in different states. This is an enumeration. Let me show you the enumeration, because later it's going to come back. We have waiting, uploading, completed, canceled, failed, these kind of things. We also have a progress. Progress is a number between 0 and 100. So it's going to tell me, okay, how far am I in the upload? we have some utilities like a chunk index. Which chunk am I currently uploading? Things like that. And then we have the famous read next chunk method, which takes a callback, because on Windows 8 it might be asynchronous. Okay, another thing which is special, here I have my file view model, which is kind of encapsulating the file functionality, if you want. And here I'm using a file info as my model object. So file info, as I said, is good for Silverlight 5. However, on Windows Phone 7, we are not going to use file infos here, because what we get when we select a picture is a stream. We don't get the file information. We just get the stream directly and the file name. On Windows 8, it's going to be also different. I'm going to use here a storage file instead of file info. So what it tells me is that I need to abstract this class. I need to make it so that what is using this class doesn't care how it's implemented. So to do that, I declared an iImage file info interface here, which simply declares name, image, length, and read next chunk, this method which is going to read. That's the minimum set of functionalities that I need to do my upload. I'm going to let the file view model implement iImage file info. I don't need to change anything in the code, because those methods were actually already there, because I was using them anyway. What's going to change is that in my code, I'm going to search for file view model, and I'm going to replace every time I'm using that with iImage file info. So let's go. I'm going to do that here inside the methods. Here too. Here, I have to be careful. No. Here, yes. Here, yes. Like this, what I did is that I prepared, again, my code for sharing for later. Okay, I will be able to share a bigger part of my code simply because I'm using an interface instead of the actual class. I can save, I can build, and the build works. So we are in a good shape. Good, then the next thing I would like to do is change the design a bit. So if I open the page in Blend, what we see is that we have the Chrome showing up, so I can change here the scroll bar, the button, but the actual files, I cannot change them because I don't see them. And this is annoying. So what we want to do is add design time data. And again, we want to add that in a way that can be reusable on each platform. For design time data, I prepared here a design folder. I'm going to include those files. And let me explain what they do. Design file is an implementation of IMH file info. So this is a design time implementation of my file view model, if you want. It's very simple. It has a name. Again, it has the image. And here for the image, I'm going to read the image from inside the assembly, which means that I include here an image. It's a peacock. Okay? It works with any image, by the way. It doesn't have to be a peacock. So I have an image here. I'm going to include it in the assembly, which seems kind of a waste because you don't want to go to production with a peacock in your application, right? So what you can do is edit the project file, edit your build file, and say when you're in debug mode, you include the image. However, when I'm in release mode, I don't. Okay? This design file code can be totally excluded for production. But it has some advantages if I have it here at design time. Now, I also have this design select file service, which is also implementing iSelect file service. Remember, we saw that. Actually, we didn't. I'm going to show you that now. When I go to production, I have my main page, and I need somebody to select those files. So I let the main page implement iSelect file service. iSelect file service is a very simple interface. Just have one method, select files. Now, select files on Silverlight is a synchronous method, so I don't really need the callback. But again, I'm preparing myself for the future. In Windows 8, it's asynchronous, so I want a callback inside here. I let the main page implement that, which means that here I have the method implemented. I'm using an open file dialog in Silverlight. In Windows Phone 7, we'll have another implementation of that. And then I tell my application, using here the IOC container, I'm telling every time you need an iSelect file service, please use this, use me. Okay? And I'm doing this only when I'm not in design mode. Why do I say not in design mode? Because that will fail in Blend. It doesn't work in Blend. Okay, you cannot open a file dialog in Blend and select files. So in Blend, at design time, I want another implementation. I want something which is going to return me some design files. This is what this design select file service is doing. It's another implementation. The select files method is going to build a list of 20 design files. And then I need to tell the application, when you are in design mode, please use that guy instead of the main page. So a good location to do that could be in the view model locator, which is a class which is managing all your view model. It's a neat place to do some setup like that. Here in the view model locator, I'm already taking care of registering my upload file service. This is the class which goes to the network. Okay, and I'm saying every time you need an iUpload file service, please use this implementation. I'm also registering the view model. We'll see in a moment why. So this is a good place here to add my design time and saying when I am in design mode, please, every time you need an iSelect file service, use this design select file service. Notice that I'm doing that only in debug mode simply because I don't like to include unnecessary code in production. The view model itself, I'm going to jump to it and go and show you the constructor. The view model itself takes an iSelect file service and an iUpload file service as parameters. Now, you don't have to worry about creating that object because the IOC container is going to do it for you. It's going to check, do I already have an iSelect file service in my cache? If yes, use it. If not, create it on demand. Do I already have an iUpload file service? Same thing. If no, create it on demand. Inject it. And then the main view model is going to use those guys without knowing what is the exact implementation. At design time, it's going to create those 20 design files. So now I can... Oh, there is one thing I need to take care of. You notice that in the implementation, when I come back from selecting the files, this method is going to be called, and then immediately the upload starts. Now that's going to break in Blend, because Blend cannot support the asynchronous request to the web server. So instead, you want to take care of isolating that code in design mode and telling Blend, don't do that. So I'm going to remove this. And instead, what I'm going to say is, if I am not in design mode, then, yeah, go ahead and do the upload. Otherwise, I'm going to add a random status message and a random progress from 0 to 100, simply because it's going to help me to do my design. Okay? So now I can build this. And now if I go into Blend and I reload, I see that I have my files, my design files appearing, which is cool because I can do some design now. I can go and, for example, set the background to black. I'm going to select the items control, select the template. Okay, now I'm working on one particular template. And then I want to add the picture of the file which is currently uploaded, okay, a representation. So I can convert that into a grid, which is kind of annoying to do in XAML. It's really easier in the tool. Going to add a colon. Going to make this colon auto. Then I'm going to select an image control. Blend on small resolution is always such a pleasure to show. Here we are. And now I don't see anything for this image, but it's okay because I have my design time data, so I can go and do my data binding. Blend knows what data context I am in because I set up the application this way. So I can select here the image. And it so happens that the image is read from the thing. So I see my image. Now I can easily do some design. I want to put that into the first column. I want to make it 100 times 100. Oops. 100 times 100. I want to put a bit of margin next to it. Here we are. I want to also put some margin below because I see that now it's a little bit weird. Here we are. Let's put this image on top. And then I'm going to take those two here and I'm going to move them into the first column. Okay, I cannot read the text because it's black on black, so I can select here my two text blocks and change their color to white. And basically you see that, okay, it would need a lot more work, but basically I can do all that in a very visual manner, which is kind of neat. If I run the application now, it has exactly same functionality as before. So I can select my samples, boom, boom, and now I see the image appearing, which is kind of a neater user experience, okay? So that would be how you do that in SQLite 5. That's the old way. Then we are going to do the same in Windows Phone. So in Windows Phone, the cool thing is that I can reuse quite a lot of that code. I'm going to add here an existing project which I already kind of prepared. And then let's go through this structure. So it has the same structure as my SQLite application, my full-blown SQLite application. It's also using the Windows Phone version of MVVM Lite. And let's start upstairs in the page. The page is implementing iSelectFileService. Okay. This is, however, another implementation because you don't select a file the same way in Windows Phone than you do in SQLite. I am also using the IOC container to register myself, so it's exactly the same code. However, I need to re-implement select files. So what I'm going to do here is use a photo chooser task. Photo chooser task is a little bit special because what's going to happen is that your application is going to go in the background for a while. You're going to have another UI from the operating system. I'm going to select that. I'm going to come back to my application. It's going to be rehydrated automatically, so you don't have to do that. And then you're going to continue the work. So the first thing I need to do, I'm going to have to save this callback. Okay? Because when I show the photo chooser task, it's going to show, and then my application is gone for a while. So that's one case where we see, okay, it was actually quite a good idea to use a callback here. Okay. So I'm going to save this callback as an attribute. Then I'm going to select the file using the photo chooser task. I need a completed event for that. And here we go, we have the completed event now. In the completed event, I'm going to get access to the file name, and I also get access to e.chosenPhoto, which is a stream. No more file info here, which is why we have to have another implementation. First thing I see which is red is this iimage file info. Obviously, I need to add it. Well, it so happens that I can add it because it's the same code. So what I want to show you here is that I'm reusing quite a lot of code. The whole design stuff is shortcut, shortcut, shortcut. I'm not having the same version of the file twice. I'm reusing them. Helpers, everything I can reuse. Model, everything I can reuse. If I prove it to you, this folder is empty. Okay? At build time, it's going to include the classes inside your XAP file, inside your DLL, but you don't have to maintain them twice. Now, to do that, I'm going to do the same to the view model. Like this, you see how you do that. I go to the Silverlight 5 version, to the view model. I select the files I want to include, all of them. Instead of clicking on Add, I click on Add as a link. And now I have the same code in my Windows Phone 7 application. iImage file info is here. Now it's known, so that's cool. Now, this file view model WP71, like the name shows, is a specific implementation for Windows Phone 7. So we need to implement that. And I told you have multiple ways to extend the class. One possibility is to derive from this class, okay, to inherit this class. I'm going to do that here. And then later we'll see other ways to extend the class. So here I'm selecting here this name. I'm going to go to my view model folder. I'm going to add a new class which will be specific to Windows Phone 7. And then I'm going to say, please derive from file view model. And one thing, just to make the compiler happy, I need to add that it is also implementing iimage file info. It would build without that. But if you don't do it, the compiler is getting confused which actual class, which actual method you want to call. So here I'm just saying, I really want to use this one. Okay, now I need to overload the constructor. Here we go. The constructor is taking a stream and a file name, not a file info anymore like before. I'm going to add a few properties. Name and length. Notice that those are new, meaning that they hide the one from the file view model. Okay. And here I see that I have a problem because file stream is private and set image is private, which is really the biggest disadvantage of subclassing something, is that you have to plan in advance and make stuff protected instead of private. So that's why I usually prefer other ways. I don't really subclass as much as I extend. But anyway, we can do it here because we own the code. So I can jump here to the file stream and make that protected. Oops. Would probably be better to have a property here instead of an attribute, but to keep things simple, we can do that. And I also need to make setImage protected. Okay, so now I have my file view model implementation for Windows Phone 7. It's using a stream instead of using a file info. Now I can build this. And now I'm going to do some UI, and the first thing I need to do is to call the select files command. And in Windows Phone 7, you remember in Silverlight 5, I had a button which was written load or something. In Windows Phone 7, I'm going to place this button in the application bar, because it's neat. So let's go to the main page. When you create a new Windows Phone application, Visual Studio is suggesting you an implementation for the application bar, but I'm going to get rid of everything. Here we are. And then I'm going to go into Blend. I'm going to open my page. Here we are. And now we see that we have the application bar down there. It is still empty. So I can here in Blend say add application bar icon button. I'm going to set, Blend comes with a set of standard icons that you can use. So if I use the add icon, see Blend added it here to my application, which is kind of neat. Otherwise, you can use your own icons, obviously. I'm going to change the text to select. Here we are. And now I need to call my command, the select files command, on the view model. But there is one unfortunate thing with application bar in Windows Phone 7. You cannot call a command directly from a button on the application bar. You can use a command from a standard button, but not from the application bar button. Now, if you go online, you will find some work around that. There are some libraries which allow you to do that. Personally, I don't really use those because I find that it's such a small thing that I don't really see the need for an additional library just for that. But you know, you might think differently. So here what I'm going to do, I'm simply going to go back to my main page. It closed it for some reason. Go back to the main page. This is where I have my button. I'm going to add a click event, call that select click, and navigate to event handler. And now I'm going to call the command on the view model directly from this. So I add some view code to go and call the command. Again, it's not pure MVVM. I can live with that. Personally, I don't have problems sleeping because of that. So if I want to call something on the view model, I need an access to my view model. Okay? In MVVM, I added a small snippet to do that. It's called MVVMVM. MVVM is just a prefix for all the MVVM snippets. You have a lot of snippets. And then VM, if I press Enter and Tab, it's going to expand. And what it does is just taking the data context, casting it, and returning it. Very easy. Now I can do vm.selectFilesCommand.execute with a null parameter, because this command doesn't take a parameter. And I'm done. So this was painless enough, in my opinion. Now you could even go ahead and do some advanced stuff. Like, for example, if I go on the constructor here, and I say vm.selectFilesCommand.canExecuteChanged, and I can handle the canExecuteChange event and, for example, disable my button when that changes. I'm not going to do that here, but just to show you that the goodies that you have in XAML that you can do in Blend, in XAML with all those commands, are fairly easy to replicate in code behind when you need to. Okay, now let's build. And now I would like to do a little bit more design. Now, one thing which is interesting is that when I use the Windows Phone 7, when I use the Windows Phone 7 version of this, here we go. When I use a Windows Phone 7 version of this, the photo chooser task is going to return only one picture at a time. And my implementation can load a list of pictures. So I'm not going to use it at its full capacity if you want. But it's okay because one file is a special case of many files. Okay? So I'm just going to reuse the same code. And here, since I have just one file, I think it would be neat if it was full screen during the upload. Okay? So let's do that design. I'm going to, first of all, add an image control. Here we go. Again, we don't see anything, so I need to do some data binding. And my whole design code runs in Windows Phone 7 too, so I can reuse that. So let's go and select here the source. Going to bind. Blend knows that my data context is the main view model. This is how my application is set up. And here I have my list of files. Now, a list of files doesn't mean one file, but Blend is quite clever. It's going to go and see here the binding. It's a little bit gray, but it's written files of zero. So it's automatically taking the first one of the list, which is kind of neat. You know, you can do a binding to an array like this and take the first item of the array. Kind of neat. I don't have to worry and go and do that in XAML. I say OK, and here is a peacock. Now I can do some design. Going to center it. I'm going to put it in the first row, which it is already on top. I'm going to remove the margin, and I'm going to set it to a row span of 2. I'm going to set the stretch to uniform to fill. Now it's filling the whole place, the whole space, okay? I don't see anything else, so obviously I need to put it in the background. And now it's kind of hard to read the text now, so I can go and set the opacity to something like 50%. Something like that. Okay, so easy to do my visual design here. Then I would like to show the progress. I have a progress property, which is from 0 to 100. Ideally, in Silverlight 5, I showed that into a progress bar. But here we are in Metro. Metro is very typography-oriented. I would like to show the number showing up. So I want to format that string with a percentage after that. Okay? Now, I have two ways to do that. In Windows Phone 7.5, in Mango, you can use a string format property in the binding. But that's not compatible. It doesn't exist in Windows 8 yet, so I don't want to use that. Instead, I'm going to simply go on my view model and add a property which is already formatting. So I go here. The view model in question is called Upload File Info View Model. Into Upload File Info is where I have the progress. Into here, the view model, I'm going to add stuff which is really specific to the view, like, for example, a progress string property. This progress string property is simply going to take the progress and add a percent. It's kind of simple, but it's just, you know, for the illustration. However, what I need to do, I also need to raise the property change event on that so that my bindings work. I can do that here. Notice that here I have my model, which is an upload file info. I'm going to subscribe to its property change event. And then I'm going to say, if the property that change is the progress property, then I'm going to raise the property change event also on the progress string property. Okay? So basically, I'm extending my model with something which is purely for the view. Now that I have this, let's just build. It's going to blend. I'm going to add two strings, 1, 2. The first one, I'm going to use it for this progress string that I just did. Here we are. So now I can bind two files progress string. Something is showing because I have code which at design time is adding a random number here, so it makes my task very easy to design. For example, I want to increase the size 120 pixels. At this size, it's probably better to go with the light version. And now you have some design possibilities like that. The other thing I would like to show is the status message. I'm going to put it at the bottom. I'm going to bind here to files model status message. Here we are. I have a design time status message, which is just helping me to see how this string looks like. Going to make it bigger, 40 pixels. Can put it in the center. Et voilà. Now, the last thing I would like to do on this application is to handle states. Okay, I have status. I showed you before. I have waiting, uploading, completed, failed that I would like to handle. So states in Blend are very easy. I can add here status state, which is a group. And then I will have status waiting, status uploading, status completed, status failed. Now, when I'm failed, I'm now recording the state, okay? I want to show this message block in red, this message box in red. When I am completed, I want to show it in green. When I am uploading, this is okay. And when I'm waiting, I want to hide the status message because it's not really interesting in that case. I want the transitions between the states to take 200 milliseconds, 0.2 seconds. Then I need to trigger those states. And this is where we are going to use those behaviors that I mentioned before. So let's go to Assets. I'm going to go to Behaviors. And I'm going to select a behavior named goToStateAction. I'm going to change here the trigger type to a data trigger, because I want to trigger when a data changes, when the property status goes to different values. And this property is an enum, by the way. So here I can do some data binding. I go and select the status property. Then I will say when it is equal to waiting, then I want you to go into the status waiting state and use transitions. Now to finish that, I'm going to do the other states in XAML with a snippet, simply because it goes a little bit faster. Well, it goes faster because I prepared everything in advance. Okay, and now I'm good to go. So I'm going to try to show you that if the internet gods are with us. I have here an application, a version of the application loaded here. This is the upload that we saw. By pressing on plus, I'm going to my photo album. Okay, I'm going to make a picture. Oops. Okay, it's a little bit dark, but it's okay. Here we go. Yeah, you almost don't see it. Okay, I'm going to do like that. I'm going to press on accept. Goes back to my application, and the upload starts. Yeah, so we have internet, okay? When the upload is finished, we'll go to the state where we see the status message and all that. It's a little bit dim, but we see that there is a picture in the background, so it's kind of a neat user experience. Okay. So now for the pièce de résistance, like we say in my country, I'm going to show you how to do that on Windows 8. And Windows 8 is, you know, almost the same. We also have the same structure, MVVM, right? We have the version of MVVM Lite for Windows 8. We also have the main page. Oops, I'm opening the manifest. Also have the main page, which is also implementing iSelect file service, same interface, also registering itself with the IOC container. So now I need a select files method. And here we see one difference. Select files is now asynchronous. Okay? Until now, it was always synchronous, but now it's asynchronous. Because the file open picker has a method pick multiple files async. But it's okay because we have prepared ourselves by using a callback here. So we are good. Then the file view model, most of the code here is shared, but this file view model, I need a specific implementation. It's not a surprise. I already had a specific implementation for that guy on Windows Phone 7. It is still implementing iImage file info, so I can use it in my shared code. It's fine. However, I'm not using a file info anymore. I'm using a storage file here. That's why I need the specific implementation. I have name, I have image, I have the length. Then I need to open the stream, which is using now something called an iRandom access stream. Okay, it's quite different. It's not your file stream that you had in SQLite 5, for example. It's called iRandom access stream. It is asynchronous, so I need to await, and I need to make this method asynchronous. The next thing I need is to read the chunk, which again is asynchronous, shouldn't be a surprise by now. But it's okay because we prepared ourselves by using a callback. And here I'm awaiting on the open stream here. All this will be available for download, of course. Another thing which is different is the uploader. So before I had uploader.sl, which was a specific implementation for SQLite and Windows Phone. Now I'm using uploader.win8. The class has the same name, so when I use it, I'm just going to use the uploader. But the implementation is different, because here I'm using something called HTTP client, which is kind of a hybrid between HTTP web request and the web client that we knew in .NET. HTTP client is now allowing you to do all your networking operations from simple stuff like a GET to very complex stuff like a PUT with multiple headers and all that. This implementation is asynchronous, but that shouldn't be a surprise because in SQLite 5 it is already asynchronous. Okay, so the trend towards asynchronous was already there in SQLite 5. It's just getting a little bit bigger in Windows 8. Good, let's talk about UI. Into my main page, I would like to show an application bar like I have in Windows Phone 7. And here I have one difference, which is actually kind of neat. The application bar in Windows 8, the buttons that you add, support command. So I don't need to do my trick that I did in Windows Phone. Okay, yay, they listened. So that's cool. Then I would like to show my files. And to show my files on a UI such as Windows 8, probably a good idea is a grid view. This is a new list control that you have in Windows 8, which allows you to put things not just one under the other, but in a grid, which is neat when you do some touch, because you can easily touch the items. They are big, and then they can scroll quite easily. It's the same as a list box, very much the same as a list box in SQLite. I have an item source. I have item template, which is a data template. The data template is here. There is one difference here. Instead of binding on files on my view model, I'm binding on files Win8. Why? Well, there is a bug in the developer preview which causes observable collections to fail updating the UI. Now, I don't want you to be too scared about this bug because it's going to be fixed. So don't worry too much. But it gives me a very good occasion to show you how you can extend a class to work around those differences in a very neat way. So I have my main view model, which is shared. Okay, there is a small shortcut icon here. And notice that it is partial, which means that it allows me, here in Windows 8 particularly, to add a file. This file is not shared. And this file is also declaring partial main view model. So everything you put inside here is going to extend your original view model. And here I can add a property of type observable vector. Again, I don't want to go too deep into the explanation of how to work around this bug, because this bug is going to be away anyway very soon. But basically, it allows me to add this files Win8 property, which is working around the bug, and which is allowing me, you know, to use my view model anyway. The meat of the view model is shared. Just that is different. So partial classes are a very neat way to extend your applications. Okay, now I would like to do a bit of design. So let's see how design time data works in Windows 8. I'm going to open main page here into the designer. I need to build. Okay, I cannot build at this point because this is another difference in Windows 8. They moved stuff around. In that case, the bitmap image class in SQLite 5 is inside system.windows.media.imaging. But Windows 8, it's not anymore. So I'm going to remove that. And this is the only place where I'm actually going to use a precompiler directive, just because of that namespace. Now it is in windows.ui.xaml.media.imaging. Okay, now I can build. Okay, now I'm going to try to go here. Let's try to reload it. Okay, it has some issues. Okay, never mind. I'm going to start doing the design work, and hopefully it will fix the problem. So here, into my example, I'm using a data context, okay, which is actually trying to do things like, you know, selecting files and all that. It's not going to work very well. Here in Windows 8, I find that the best way to do design data, at least in the developer preview, is to use what we call a design time data context. So let me show you how to do that. I'm going to take here an additional line. This D colon here means that this is going to be used only at design time, only in blend. Okay? You see, it is ignorable. The D prefix has been added to the ignorable list. So at runtime, it's going to be ignored. Just blend is clever enough to know that it shouldn't ignore that, or in that case, the Visual Studio Designer. By the way, did you know that the Visual Studio Designer in Visual Studio 11 is actually blend? So they took the code and they put it inside, which is pretty neat. Okay, we have the same. Everything you know in Blend is going to be useful now here. which is pretty cool. So now we have this thing ignorable. And what I'm going to use here is a design instance of type main view model. So I'm using the same view model. And I say is design time creatable is true. Okay? Now there is one thing I need to take care of, because since I'm creating the object in XAML, I need a default constructor. Everything you create in XAML is going to be deserialized, so you need a default constructor. For the moment, I don't have one. For the moment, I have this constructor, which is taking I select file service and I upload file service. So I'm going to have to add an additional constructor just for Windows 8. Well, we have this partial class, which is a good way to do that just for Windows 8. So I'm going to add here the default constructor. Now I should be able to build. And by the way, this default constructor is using, like you can see, the design select file service. So I'm really using my design time code. Now let's go in Visual Studio Designer. Why is it not working? Yeah, that seems nasty. I'm going to just restart Visual Studio. So we are pioneers, right? We are working with stuff that nobody ever did before, and these kind of things happen. And of course, they only happen when you have an audience, you know. So, yeah, okay, it won't work. Unfortunately, I'm not able to show you the design time data here, and this is because of a nasty COM exception, so I'm not going to even try to debug that, okay? That said, the result would be that you see here, you know, those files. I'm going to show you the real application running like this, you will see. At this point, I, you know, could be able to do a little bit more design. For example, here in those templates, the font size, I'm going to want to play with font size to make it bigger, to show it nicer. And why don't I just show you the finished application? In fact, let me just go through that to see. I pretty much explained to you everything I wanted. So this would be... Ooh, neat. Even that doesn't work. Okay, it's dead. Why don't I just reboot? And I'm going to take questions while I reboot, because in the developer preview, it so happens that sometimes you cannot start your Metro applications anymore. Sorry about that. I'm just going to go here, do a quick restart. And do you have questions in the meantime? That's a great time to ask questions. Please, ask questions. Please.
Do we have states in Windows 8?
Yes, that's a good question. Do we have states in Windows 8? Yes, there are visual states that you can use. However, what I don't have here is a go to state action, which is why I didn't want to use a state. Win. Cool. Well, like this, you can see that it sometimes updates itself, you know, so that's cool. Anyway, I'm going to reply very slowly like this. Do you have state? So yes, you do have the Visual State Manager. The go-to state action is a little bit special in the sense that normally states are only applied to a control. And the page is not a control, it's something else, right? So using the standard Visual State Manager, even in a Silverlight application, you cannot actually set states on the page. So the go-to state action is doing something more. If you check the code, you can find it online if you look well in CodePlex, actually. The go-to state action is going to do some tricks, and it's going to use what they call an extended Visual State Manager, which is able to set states even on something which is not a control, which is why it works. But in Windows 8, it doesn't work yet. So we are waiting for that. So go to state action, you don't have it, but the states, yes, you can absolutely, when you do a template for a button, for example, you can use states there, no problem.
So can I design them in Visual Studio?
No, unfortunately, so Visual Studio, the Visual Studio Designer, I told you that it's blend code, that's true, but the things you can do inside here is limited, okay? And I cannot say more about availability of Blend in the future. We are all hoping that it will come soon, because it's really hard to work without Blend. Right now, you have to do your work in XAML and, you know, the hard way, meaning type it, try it, test it, and then hope that it works. Yeah. Any other question?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Okay, so now I'm demonstrating the fast boot of Windows 8. Well, it's not really a laptop made for that. I don't actually have an SSD on here. Yeah, see? Any other questions? No? I thought he was raising his head. He's just scratching his head, damn it. No? Everything clear? Okay, what I can tell you is that the code is going to be available, so I'm going to show you that on my blog. Hope that I can show you the final slides. There are a couple more slides recapitulating, so let's hold for that. The code is going to be available. The sessions are filmed, right? So they are going to be available only in a few weeks. They need to process it. I'm not sure exactly, but so you will have the session available as well in case I went too fast, which is very possible. It was a lot of code. I'm aware of that. Okay, so first thing I'm going to do is try to run this. No, come here. No, it's dead. You think? I can try to go in a larger resolution. It's going to look weird, but who cares? Oh, I never had that problem before, so. Just going to go to native, huh? Sorry? Oh, too much? Yeah, no, I know it's too much, obviously, but. This one? Okay, let's try. Keep changes. Dang, you're right. Doesn't work. Oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know why? Maybe. No, I'm on duplicate. Okay, I will invite you around my computer at the end of the session to show you the application running. Okay, I'm just going to go back to what I had just to show you the end of the presentation. Keep changing. So now it's showing, and I'm just going to go here, Belgium, MVM applied. Well, it's actually a pretty neat design where you see all the files with the pictures showing and the the progress string, which is kind of interesting because we have seen so many progress bars, right? That using something else from time to time is actually pretty cool. That said, when you use typography, you want to be careful depending on what culture you work. Okay, so I'm just going to go back to my final slides here. Let's see, where is it here? Almost, yes, that's the one. Okay, so session summary. Session summary is that Windows 8 is a work in progress, as you saw. But good thing is that what you learned in Silverlight, and this is really what I would like you to go back home with, what you learned in Silverlight is really not lost. It's going to serve you very well. So MVVM, XAML, design time data, all that is really, really useful. Same principles, same skills. Design time data, you can use that. You have a clean decoupled architecture for your application, so that's pretty neat. Porting an application needs work and some planning, okay? We saw already that the XAML is going to be new, but that's no big surprise. When you go on Windows Phone, you have to redo the XAML anyway. I mean, the form factor is different, the touch is different. Obviously, you want to redo most of the XAML, probably. Also, what's different is the asynchronous code. Okay, so asynchronous code is, you have much more asynchronous code than before. So brush up on that, that's really important. Call to action, what you can do now already to prepare yourself is check your code for workflows which might be asynchronous in Windows 8. Every time you do file operations, you might want to protect yourself with a callback so that later it's less difficult to port it. Streams and all that, okay? Check the developer preview, even though the beta is coming out soon. I think it's never too early to start. You can download the whole developer preview. It's a big ISO files that you can easily install then, and then you have all the tools inside for free, so Visual Studio 11 preview and all that. And stay tuned for the beta. The beta is coming end of February. It's going to be quite an exciting step because I can tell you that they worked a lot on it, and you know, it's going to be much more stable than what we saw today, at least I hope. No, seriously, it's going to be to be much better. This one is an announcement by Microsoft Belgium. So they have on March 23 a night of coding. It sounds like a fun operation because anyway, we all code at night except we do that at home alone. So here you have a possibility to do it with friends and check the blogs, right? There is a lot of information out there. The team, the Windows 8 team, is putting huge blogs which take like hours to read, but it's really very good information. And finally, I want to thank you very much for your patience during those few difficulties. You will be able to find the code on my blog, and I'm going to put the presentation for download as well. MVVM Lite Toolkit, if you're interested to check it out. On Twitter, I'm El Bunion, so you can contact me there. If you have additional questions, which I don't think because you didn't have before, no, if you have any additional question, I can take them. My time is up, but I'm very happy to stay a little bit later if you want to talk. Okay, thank you very much, and have a good experience with Windows 8. Thank you.